and to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in the deserted places, and people kept coming out to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. So we're in the very first chapter of Mark's Gospel. So prior to today, there's already been three miracles that Jesus performed. Today, the fourth miracle, where Jesus cures a leper. Now, in the first reading today from the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, which talks about the awful skin disease, leprosy, all of chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus explains how leprosy was to be managed. The person with a skin disease must present themselves to a priest who would decide if he had leprosy or not. And if the priest declared that he did have leprosy, the person was isolated from society. He must identify himself as unclean anytime he approached someone or someone approached him. The leper was considered dead, though he's still alive. So he wore a black garment that was ripped so all could visually see that he was a leper, and he had to live outside society in a cave or a leper camp. To attend a service at the synagogue, the leper had to remain outside, and he could only peep in and see. That little peephole was called a leper squint. It was cut in the walls of the synagogue. Now, there was physical pain with leprosy, but also there was mental anguish and heartbreak because he was completely banished from society and totally shunned. So let's think about a man with wife and kids, and he gets diagnosed with leprosy. He had to leave his home, his family, his job, and was cast out from the community and was forced to live in caves or a camp with other lepers. Now, his family had to take care of him. They had to bring him meals, clothing, blankets, etc., whatever that he would need. But he's gone now. He had to quit his job. Who is going to provide for the family now? How will the family help the husband and father of their kids? So remember when HIV caused so many affected people to be singled out and forced into seclusion, and the caregivers were wearing protective garments for fear that they would catch it. And similarly, precautions were made when the COVID hit. The people who were living in assisted homes were not allowed to leave their rooms for almost 2 years. Families had to see their loved ones through a window, and if they wished to talk with them, the person could lift up the window, but the family stood outside the window and they had a certain distance, and they could at least talk with them kind of face to face. So not only that, but we were not allowed into those places to give people Holy Communion. So truly, they were in seclusion. Last week, Father Joe had a cold. Now, he had tested negative for COVID, yet he was still very cautious. He consumed all the precious blood in his chalice, so I wouldn't have to drink after him. And when communion was over, he purified his own vessel. And a cold really isn't a big deal as leprosy or COVID or HIV. But that's how the people in the day of Jesus, how they felt about leprosy. The community had that time, and they felt compelled to put lepers in seclusion in this heartbreaking fashion in order to protect themselves. So desperate times require desperate measures. The leper in today's gospel broke the law when he came within 16 feet of Jesus, and he kneels down and he begs Jesus to heal him. The leper had no right at all to even talk to Jesus, but Jesus didn't drive him away. Jesus meets the desperation of another human with an understanding, compassion, and love. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the untouchable, a man who was unclean. To Jesus, the man was not unclean. He was simply a poor soul in desperate need. And having cleansed him, Jesus sent him to the priest to fulfill the prescribed ritual to be declared clean from their leprosy. Jesus fulfilled the human law and human righteousness. He did not defy conventions, but when in need, he submitted to them. His compassion, his power, his wisdom were all touched in this healing. So think about this. If the man had not been a leper, he may never have gotten to know Jesus. Sometimes in our suffering, when our suffering seems to be too much for us to endure, but our suffering may lead us to a place that we cannot even imagine. Our suffering might lead us into the arms of Jesus, into the arms of the Almighty, as he did for the leper. Our suffering may also bring others into the arms of Jesus. Now, in our second reading today from Corinthians, St. Paul tells us that we're to do everything for the glory of God. We should avoid being offensive to anyone. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, and mutually forgiving, just as God has forgiven us. And we're not to seek our own benefit, but seek the benefit of others so they may be saved. We are to be imitators of Jesus. In the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel, it tells us how to be imitators of Jesus. We are to love our enemies, be good to those who hate us, and pray for those who persecute us and insult us. Last Tuesday was a memorial of St. Paul Miki and 25 of his companions. They were crucified in Nagasaki in 1597, all for being Catholic Christians. As he was hanging on the cross, he proclaimed, "My religion teaches me to pardon my enemies and all who have offended me." And then he goes on to pardon the emperor and all who sought his death and beg them to be baptized and become Christians. Love our enemies. But we also need to be able to reach out to the good people in our lives, our families, people that we work with, people that we play with, our neighbors, and to help us to be more effective in proclaiming the gospel and telling people God's truth. And sometimes in order to do that, we need to have some sort of jump start or some basic guidance. So the Office of Evangelization and Family Ministries in the Archdiocese of Denver will provide a workshop to help us become more comfortable and confident in sharing our faith. We will learn how the church understands the process of evangelization, the path from being lost to the path of having faith. So consider marking your calendars for this evangelization workshop. It'll happen on the 24th of February from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and it's going to happen right here in our church. Actually, it's going to be in Seton Hall. And there's flyers outside. As you go out to the right, there's a table, and there's flyers that you can pick up. So let's not just love our enemies, but love everyone the Lord brings into your life. Be the touch of Jesus to those who seem to be untouchable.